I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, in this Wednesday afternoon. As we have since last Tuesday, we continue the dialogue on the death of George Floyd. Everything that was tied to it, how unnecessary it was, the murder charge, the opening once again of the window of systematic racism, which continues to take place in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, and all across the country. We've had a number of good guests on. We have another excellent guest on right now. Justin Terrell is with us. He is executive director for the Council for Minnesotans on African Heritage. And Justin was a part of the press conference, which we carried live yesterday, when the Minnesota Department of Human Rights announced it will launch an investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department after filing a civil rights charge related to the death of George Floyd. Justin's with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Justin, thanks for your time. Tell me about your involvement with the governor, Rebecca Lucero, and how the decision was made to pursue this route, examining thoroughly the Minneapolis Police Department.
Well, first of all, Sid, thanks for having me on the show. It's a really important time, and I think that our agency, this was our proximity to the governor and the community. You know, it's just a really important time for us to make sure that we're part of decisions being made and part of the plan. So the Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage, we're a small state agency charged with advising the governor and legislature on issues that impact the African Heritage community. So I don't work for the governor. We have our own board, and the legislator sets our budget, even though we're part of the executive branch.
Okay.
So my role in all of this, you know, was first to go to the community and to see what people need, right? And of course, the first thing people wanted was justice for George Floyd, for the officers to be arrested. And so we went to work on that right away, advising the governor's office to use whatever options they could to do that. And then there's a lack of trust in Mike Freeman's office in our community, just based on recent events, similar events. And so we realized we needed a special prosecutor. And, you know, the best name that came to us was A.G. Ellison. And while there's plenty of other folks out there like Pamela Alexander and plenty of other folks who would be great at this, just Keith's proximity and ability to get going, it just made sense to really support pulling him in. And then on the civil rights investigation, the FBI's investigation into the city is a criminal one, as where in the previous administration they were doing consent agreements with the federal government. You know, it seems that those type of things, like they did in Baltimore and Ferguson and other places, those kind of efforts have, to my knowledge, have ceased. And so we began looking for other options, and it became clear that the state could do a civil rights investigation and open up the books for the last 10 years and really search for patterns of behavior and really try to figure out what's going on. Because this, you have a police force led by a black man who takes off his hat when he speaks to the family of George Floyd on TV, right? Just an extremely respectful brother who's worked hard to transform the culture of MPD. And these problems continue to persist. These are systemic problems. These aren't about a few bad apples. It's about a system that persists these issues, and so we need to examine that system. If for nothing else, to support the chief's efforts and the officers who need to be safe in the streets, but ultimately to serve the community, to make sure community has the type of police force that they deserve. And so that's really how we ended up with that decision. Or that's how I ended up with the advice that I gave to the governor before he made that decision.
Do you believe dramatic, significant, systematic changes need to take place with the Minneapolis Police Department? And are you confident after this investigation is done, those will happen?
So I absolutely believe dramatic systemic change is needed within the Minneapolis Police Department. And frankly, across our nation, I think that we need to look at this system of policing that has roots deeply tied to slavery and convict leasing and, the overseer sending his thugs who used to beat up on the slaves too hard to get more training at the garrison, military training at the garrison. I mean, slave patrols, like, policing has ties to all of those things. And so it shouldn't surprise anyone when a black man is choked, strangled to death with a knee on his neck in front of the world to watch. I mean, policing has that history. And it's nothing new. So yes, we need dramatic change. As far as like, what do I believe the outcomes will be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in a situation right now where the opportunity is there to build a coalition to get this right. And so that is my expectation, is that we build that coalition and we get it right. That we work hand in hand with community, that we work with law enforcement, to make sure that we get the full story and not the half, and then we come up with a consent decree that shows the nation, a new way of doing this work. We do not want to be here again, and I don't know that we could survive if we end up in this situation again. But we have to.
So let me pick up on that and remind folks that Justin Terrell is with us, executive director of the Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage. What do you say in particular to citizens of Minneapolis, in particular to African Americans who are looking at this and saying, I've heard about other investigations before. I've heard about other changes before. I've heard our leaders say it, and nothing really changes. Why should folks who desperately want to see change, especially African Americans who want to live their life, don't want to be targeted for no reason with their everyday life, let alone interactions with the police, why should they believe that this will be the agent for change?
That this will be the what?
The agent for change. This investigation will bring
the
change,
agent for change
that many people want out of the Minneapolis Police Department.
You know, if I'm being honest, I'm not asking the community to hope. I'm not asking the community to hope for that. I'm asking the community to get to work and help us change it. Like the Human Rights Department can do an investigation. They can come up with a consent agreement. But the reality is that, like, this is about the community, and the change that the community wants is going to be the change that they demand. And so I'm just being responsive and obedient and trying to take advantage of the options and tools that we have on the table. But if we really want real change, community has to keep coming out and protesting and demanding change. Folks got to call their legislators and their city council members, their park board members. Folks got to show up at the Capitol when we're allowed to again. And we need people to pay attention to the process, right? And so I think that, I expect this investigation to yield real results. We've seen this in other places. I believe that we will yield real results. And I'm not asking the community to put their faith in a hope, put their faith and trust in an investigation. I'm asking them to put their faith and trust in themselves and really, stay at it. Keep demanding change. Keep demanding justice for George Floyd. Keep demanding justice for black people in Minnesota. Because frankly, the justice system is just one system we have to address, but we have to address all the systems: healthcare, economics, the zoo has racial disparities in Minnesota, and we can no longer just admire these problems. And so I hope I'm answering your question.
Sure.
My hope is in the community. The investigation is simply a tool that we use to open the books and to try to figure out what we can do together. But if we're successful, we're going to have more work to do. This work never ends. And so, I think things will get better. Yeah.
We've had a number of people on from the legislature the last few days about potential change, including State Senator Jeff Hayden. He represents the area where tragically George Floyd was killed. He's talked about legislation that he's had on the books and others have had on the books year after year after year after year that would touch on many of the things that you discussed, and that they haven't had a chance to get started. They haven't had a chance to build up numbers to get votes. Are you optimistic, or how do you look at the role the state legislature might make in this entire area?
Well, I mean, there's 201 legislators. We have 7 black legislators, and you know, there's a lot of education that needs to happen. And so, you know, and not just in greater Minnesota, in the suburbs and sometimes in the urban core as well. But if you just watch these two cities burn and you're an elected official and you don't see the dramatic need for change right now, that all the politics that folks have been playing on both sides, trying to keep, you know, bills from moving and whatnot, if people don't see that now is the time to set that aside, because we have a real problem on our hands, and we also have an opportunity to lead and show the nation to heal the nation. Think about how divided we are right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an opportunity to address that. And so that's what I ask of the legislators. I ask them to go to work. None of these issues that the Posse Caucus put out this week are new ideas. People know these issues. We just need Senator Limmer, Representative Lesch, Representative Mariani, Senator Gazelka, Speaker of the House Melissa Hortman. We just need them to all get on the same page and get something done for our people. And if they're not willing to do that, then I think that just yields a much different conversation. So.
Last thing, Justin, a part of Governor Walz's comments yesterday in a press conference, which lasted well over an hour. The governor said we have a limited window of opportunity to try to get some things done. Do you believe that? And how soon will you know if that window of opportunity was used in a productive way after the grotesque death of George Floyd?
I mean, it's just like, I agree, right? Like, clearly we're responding to a crisis, and in responding to a crisis, there's clearly a window of opportunity to create meaningful change, you know? And so I agree with that. And I think that, yeah, we have to take advantage of this moment where political interests are being outweighed by community interest for once. And so I do think we need to take advantage of that opportunity, and hopefully we can establish that balance in going forward, where the legislature and the governor respond to community as aggressively in the future as they are right now. I mean, to the governor's credit, we did a stakeholder call with him last night. We had submitted a letter a few weeks ago on COVID-19 responses on healthcare, economics, housing. His office gave us their responses as far as like what actions they've taken on those policies in writing. Like, we need that kind of accountability. And then not only did they respond in writing, but then they said, well, let's meet with the community and figure out what we can do next. We need that kind of accountability in the House, in the Senate, in the governor's office, with our federal offices. We just need folks to be able to be held accountable by the community so that they can keep things moving forward and that folks can continue to work together. So it's not a political gotcha moment. You know, we're not doing this to glorify any politicians, even though I think Governor Walz is doing a great job. I think Chief Rondo is doing a great job. I think Senator Hayden, Councilmember Andrea Jenkins, and I mean, Angela Connolly, Commissioner Connolly, is basically become the adopted mother of that corner and is out there every day taking care of community. And so the least that elected officials can do is honor that sacrifice and dedication and take full advantage of the moment we're in and pass meaningful reforms that shift the dynamics 100%, because we can't continue the way things are right now.
Justin, thank you so much for your time. We will definitely stay in touch and follow what does take place and anything significant does take place in the next few weeks, months, and years. I appreciate your time again, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Sid. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Justin Terrell, Minnesota Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage. You want to chime in at any point? I know texts are coming in. 651-989-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.